Let's go. Welcome into the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. I am Harrison Tarr, joined as I am every Wednesday by my good friend Dylan Lark. And we've got a slate of Auburn athletics to talk about, starting off with football, talking about a really, really interesting point that ESPN released in their FPI. But before we get into that, Dylan, how you doing today, my man? You ready to get dive headfirst into this?
Oh, for sure. It's been way too long since I've been able to talk about college football, so I'm ready to talk about it some more.
Oh, yes.
Let's go.
It's been fewer than 24 hours at this point as we're recording this show. Let's dive right into it. Lance Daw over at the Auburn Daily put together a very, very interesting article about ESPN's most recent FPI projections. So according to ESPN's latest edition of their Football Power Index, the Auburn Tigers are ranked number 39 out of 133 FBS teams, which would lead you to believe that they should probably have a decent record, wind up in a decent bowl game. Wrong. The projected record from this model is somewhere between 5.8 wins and 6.2 wins, which would in theory leave you to believe that the window is between 5-7 and 6-6. And I'm interested to get your thoughts here, Dylan, and we'll break this down game by game, really, and get your thoughts. I think that that's a little bit low. I like Auburn's floor to be 7 games this year, maybe 6. I could be talked into 6, and I may be talked into 6 at the end of this portal period, just depending on how this shakes out. I think 5 wins is a little bit of a failure, and it would be Auburn's third consecutive losing season. Lance pointed that out in his article over at the Daily, which we'll link to this. It would be the first time that Auburn's had 3 consecutive losing seasons since 1975 to 77. That little rough stretch, including at the tail end of Shug Jordan's final season and Doug Barfield's first 2, which that's a rough time in Auburn, dark days in Auburn football history, really. But that being said, Dylan, where's your initial headspace at before we break this down game by game? And why is it that you think that this might be a little bit of a low bar?
I'll start off by saying the whole 1975 and 77 thing, last season of Shug Jordan's career and the first 2 of Doug Barfield, that is hilarious to think about when you look at the last 2 coaches Auburn has had. The final season of Gus Malzahn ended in a very close bowl eligibility, and then you had first 2 years of a era that very, very much replicated the Doug Barfield era from the Auburn football team.
It's funny. Brian Harsin era was worse than the Doug Barfield era, but
by far. That guy might be the worst coach in Auburn athletics history.
There's an argument. There's a real argument.
It'd be a great episode. But I'm currently looking through the ESPN FPI top 25, and I got a lot of question marks going up. I know this is an Auburn podcast, yes. But do they still think TCU is a top 25 team after losing all of their production? This is bad.
This Ole Miss, 18, that Ole Miss defense is bad.
Ole Miss is – where's Ole Miss? I thought I saw him up here.
I think I saw him at 17.
16. So 16 to 19, I don't agree with whatsoever. Wisconsin, you're just banking on Luke Fickell being the guy, which, I mean, I trust Luke Fickell more than the next guy. So, I mean, I'm not against it, but I think it's biting into it a little too early. Washington, I think, is a little low. Texas Tech, I don't know why they're there. Baylor, yeah, okay. Oregon State, okay. North Carolina, I think, is a little low. Yeah, this is – I don't trust ESPN FBI.
Yeah, I think it's a bad list. But to kind of rein it back into Auburn specifically – I don't think Auburn's a top 25 team. I don't want anybody to get me wrong here. They could come out and surprise a lot of people, and to their credit, that's entirely on the table. I don't know that they will. It's going to be a little tough to surprise me this year. If you win 9 or 10 games, then I'll be blown away. Don't get me wrong. That being said, let's look at this slate here of games, and specifically the ones that ESPN pulled out and that Lance highlighted in his article. On a game-by-game breakdown, ESPN's got Auburn at a 97.2% chance to win their home opener and season opener against UMass. Then they've got them a 43.7% chance to lose, or excuse me, to win over in California against Cal. I think that's an interesting one. Samford, 98.1% chance to win. That game's also at home. At Texas A&M, 23.5% chance to win. My grievance here, and I'm going to let you come back there, but I'll go ahead and highlight this one, keynote, and then we'll circle back with your real beef here, Dylan. My grievance there is I don't understand what Texas A&M has done to deserve any kind of credit going into this year, and I don't think they have. Georgia, 9.2% chance to win. Sure, yeah, I get that. At LSU, 11.3% chance to win. I guess I get it. I think LSU is going to be a very good team this year. Versus Ole Miss, 33.8% chance to win. They're looking at a different roster than I am. Versus Mississippi State, 55.4. So they're counting that as one of Auburn's few wins. Vanderbilt, 68.9. They're counting that as one of Auburn's wins. Arkansas, 33.2%. I mean, I know that this is a make or break year over there, but like, I don't think Arkansas is that good. New Mexico State, 96.2% chance to win. And Alabama, 8.5% chance to win. There are some of these that make sense. I'll go ahead and say it right now. Auburn's not beating Alabama. Auburn's not beating Georgia this year. I just don't think that's happening. I also don't think they're going to beat LSU and Baton Rouge again. Everything else on that schedule feels like a toss-up or an Auburn lean. Where does your beef start, Dylan, in 5,000 words or less? No.
Oh, you want me to do less than 5,000 words? That's going to be a little difficult with this. Cal's not good. Cal hasn't been good since Jared Goff. And I know they're a defensive-oriented team and they're a defensive-oriented coach, and they are a decent Pac-12 team. But here's the thing about a decent Pac-12 team. A decent Pac-12 team is a bad SEC team. That is how that has been since the beginning of time. It's just the facts. I don't understand what they see from Cal to where they think that Auburn shouldn't win that game. I get it's at Cal, and maybe Auburn has had the best track record the past, well, I guess basketball, baseball we would have seen, but it has had the best track record in Southern California. But I don't understand what in the world that they're seeing on Cal's side of things that make them think that Auburn is going to lose that game. And then my immediate grievance right after that is Texas A&M. Yeah, you hit it right on the head with that one. I don't understand what they did. Bobby Petrino was not the golden arm that you brought in at coordinator that's going to make your team any better than it was last year. They lost more than anybody else did in the transfer portal in the SEC, and they didn't really do much to bring it back, and their recruiting class wasn't what it was last year, and they lost a lot of the guys they did the year before. Yeah, I don't understand what they're saying for Texas A&M. I don't whatsoever. Devin Achane's gone. Some of their best defenders are gone. I don't really know how good their quarterback is. I'm blanking on his name. I should know it, but it's escaping me right now. But from what I know, he played well, but he lost a lot of his offensive targets. And I don't think Bob Petrino is the guy to make Texas A&M any better at offense. And
is it not Connor Wegman?
Connor Wegman, yes. There Wegman. It is.
All right. I couldn't. I was sitting here trying to wrap my brain. I cannot remember what Connor's last name was to save my life.
I almost said I was blanking through every single quarterback I could. Haynes King is no longer with the Texas A&M Aggies, and neither is there was another guy who just transferred out too. They lost a couple of guys. I was about to say Zach Calzada. That's who I was about to say, because I still think of him as an A&M quarterback because he's not an Auburn quarterback. I'm going to have a bit of a nitpicky thing about the Alabama and Georgia percentages. I don't think we're going to win those games. I don't think Auburn's going to win those games at all. I just think it's a little weird that they're giving Auburn more of a chance to beat Georgia than they are against Alabama.
Yeah, that's getting nitpicky, but I don't think Auburn wins either one of those games. I think if you win one of them, I'm kind of on your side though. I think if you win one, it's the Iron Bowl. But
exactly, that's my thing. I know it's a little like nitpicky and out there, but I think Georgia's a little bit better than Alabama.
I have some serious beef with this Ole Miss.
I'm getting there.
FPI. So I want, please don't ignore that.
I was going to bring up. I think LSU's a little too low. I think that their quarterback situation is going to cause a little bit of drama. But I don't know how much Brian Kelly can replicate a really good season again. He only did it in Notre Dame. It's going to be a true telling because I think at least most of the SEC got a little bit better.
I personally think that LSU is going to be a top 10 team at the end come January.
I think they could too. I just think Auburn's getting a little bit of a shaft there.
Well, Auburn's historically not good at playing in Death Valley. It's one of the toughest places to play in the country. Until our senior year of college, Dylan, we had never seen Auburn defeat LSU on the road in our lifetime.
We were actually – 1999 was the last time that they won.
I wasn't born yet. You weren't
born yet. And then, oh boy, this is going to be the – what's going to be hard, not to hit that 5,000 award limit. Why in the world is ESPN FBI predicting – this Ole Miss defense, which I don't know if you if anybody watched the Ole Miss spring game. There was 105 combined points in the spring game given up. That is a Pete Golding defense, and that's what happens when you take an Alabama coordinator and take them away from Alabama talent. And I know it's a spring game, but I'm gonna go ham on this because this makes no sense. For the past 10 years, I believe Ole Miss has beaten Auburn maybe twice.
I think three times.
Three times in 10 years? I think it's two. I can't remember the last. It doesn't happen a lot. It doesn't happen in a lot of sports except for baseball. Got to be honest, it doesn't.
Sure.
And I look at 33% chance to win that game, and that's the worst thing about this entire FPI thing. I mean, I don't trust the FPI at all. This is just me going ham on it for video purposes because the FPI 2 years ago had a Mississippi State finishing in the top five. That's one thing by itself. But nothing on this Ole Miss roster – says they are going to go into Jordan-Hare Stadium and beat a Hugh Freeze-led Auburn Tigers team. I don't see it. I guess if you have all three quarterbacks playing, maybe you can just sub them in and out every quarter so you have a fresh quarterback because, I mean, you still got three starting quarterbacks all competing, starting a lot of drama in Oxford, Mississippi. Ole Miss, I'm going to go ahead and say, if there's one win I'm going to count down, it's going to be Ole Miss.
Sure. I don't disagree. I think the Ole Miss take there is a little absurd on the FPI, but such is the landscape of college football, and we can all talk as much as we want, but ultimately we really won't know what the outlook looks like until at least late October. So, with that being said, Dylan, let's keep this train rolling, and I'm going to take
a moment at all.
I guess if you need to feel the need to go ham, I think that's the reason that it's where it's at right now is because it's a road game, and I do think that's a losable game.
The floodgates are open. Ken O'Briles is no longer the offensive coordinator for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and they didn't do much to replace him with a good enough coordinator, and I don't think KJ Jefferson has the weapons around him that he did the past couple years. Raheem Sanders is still there. But I do think the Auburn front seven is much improved, and I don't think they're going to be running the ball very much. Need I remind you that a Brian Harsin-led team almost beat them 2 years ago and gave them a little bit of trouble last year. Same thing with Ole Miss.
I believe Arkansas, the Arkansas loss prediction the more than I do the Ole Miss loss prediction, to be completely candid with you. But that being said, I personally think that if I've got to put on a number meter right now, Auburn wins blank games in 2023. I think seven's safe. I really think seven's safe, and I don't know what's going on over at ESPN. What your thoughts, Dylan? Auburn's going to win blank.
Oh, I gotta do a little coin flip for that one. It's either eight or nine. Wow. I think the three losses are Bama, LSU, and Georgia.
So you really do think seven's really safe?
Oh yeah, I think 5-7 is like a laughable thing about. I mean, I've gotten into it with a few people on Twitter who just think Auburn's bad because they think Auburn's bad. The SEC is not improved whatsoever that much. You have Georgia who's on top of the college football world. You have Bama who is now one of the top five team in college football no matter what. LSU is regaining their stride. Tennessee is getting up there, but Auburn doesn't have to play Tennessee. That's the positive thing with that. I look at the schedule. No SEC team that Auburn's playing besides Georgia, LSU, and Alabama has really improved over the offseason. None of them. A&M has a net like under zero loss of talent. They lost 20-plus players to the portal. And, yeah, if Bama lost that, I wouldn't be as like upset. Let's see, what's the word I'm looking for here? If Bama lost some of my players, I'd still be a little bit more worried about Alabama because after those players, I trust Nick Saban enough to
have development
coach a good team.
Sure.
Jimbo Fisher doesn't have that leeway, and he doesn't deserve it, even though he thinks he does. A&M did not get better. Ole Miss did not get better. don't let the 24/7 ranking fool you. They just picked up two top quarterbacks with transfer portal, so their ranking looks better. Mississippi State is a team that I think they didn't get better or worse. They did lose a couple of guys that I thought do hurt. Emmanuel Forbes comes to mind, their top corner from last year. Arkansas did not get better. They kept Kendall Jefferson. That's the one thing they have. Said they went Vanderbilt. They kept their quarterback and their wide receiver. But again, it's Vanderbilt. It's going to take a little while for Clark Lee to really gain any kind of like higher level recruiting. But believe me, I fully support Clark Lee. I think he's going to be a good hire, or he's going to look at as a great hire for Vanderbilt down the line. And then I guess, I've already mentioned Bama and Georgia, LSU are my three losses. If I was to go off of my gut feeling, I would say 9-3.
9-3. There it is. You heard it from the horse's mouth right here on the Auburn Daily Show. Before we continue, we're going to talk a lot, little Auburn hoops here for just one quick second. I do want to take a little time to tell everybody about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. Predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on only winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. That is my favorite part of this whole promotional, Dylan, being able to be the not great gambler that I am and still making money with Prize Picks. You can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's clutch. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. It used to be college basketball season now, Dylan. But now we're telling everybody it's MLB season, NBA playoffs. Use Prize Picks, win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double your first deposit up to $100. All right, Dylan, let's jump back into it. Let's talk Auburn hoops. Let's talk Jahni Broome. Let's talk the NBA draft. You and I went on the College Loop and had a reaction video live on YouTube just a couple hours ago about, as this is being recorded, rather, yesterday as this show is being released. And we talked about the Jahni Broome has declared that he has entered the NBA draft. He will maintain his eligibility. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because by the time that this show comes out tomorrow, Dylan, this is going to be old news. And that's the lay of the land. That's okay. But I did want to touch base on this real quick. Dylan, you and I discussed, I'm just going to have you break it down here if you've had some more time to sit on it. Is Jahni Broome truly NBA bound, or is there another layer to this that maybe some Auburn fans who are a little panicked haven't considered?
Yeah, and before I get into that, I'm going to go and preface my last take about 9-3. I'm going to preface it with the fact if Auburn is a transfer portal quarterback, which you all hope they do, and they will get, just before anybody comes at me, because I feel like that's going to be a hot take. But Jahni Broome, yeah, I don't think he's going to actually go to the NBA. I don't think there's going to be any real chance he gets drafted in any reasonable spot where he can make a roster right off the bat. So, and looking at it, I think he's going to be a real focal point of next year's team playing at the 4, hopefully when Auburn picks up a 5 in the portal. Yeah, I just think this is him just testing and see what he needs to improve on. If he watched the College Loop, he would know what he needs to improve on. One of those things being his consistency and he can shoot. He can shoot. I think that's one thing that he has going for him is he does have that sneaky ability to make shots, but defense lacks a lot. And in today's world of the NBA, where it's so offensive driven, where everyone's scoring 100 points a night, you need that. And that's really what he lacks in at times where we've seen games where he just disappears. And it happened more often than you'd like. And he really needs an extra year at Auburn to really prove and see if he can go to the NBA.
Sure.
Even though I guess the NBA draft world's changing where I think if you – with the NIL, it kind of prevents the 1 years, which I know he's already a sophomore. But, yeah, I don't think there's a real chance that he actually goes to the NBA draft unless someone tells him he's going first round. And even if that – if you're not good enough to go in the first round, if you're not good enough to go to a lottery pick, I wouldn't advise leaving college if you still have eligibility remaining.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, Dylan. I think this is more one of those situations where he mentioned in his I guess not farewell, but his announcement to be declaring for the NBA draft that he spoke with his family, his friends, his parents, and the Auburn coaching staff, which is very important that he mentioned the coaching staff. I think this is an element of him, he and Bruce kind of gauging where he's at And Bruce, I'm not putting words into his mouth, but it would not surprise me if it was something to the effect of, hey, man, go figure out what scouts think about you. And if they think that you could be a first-round guy, go play professional basketball. But if they're telling you, hey, there's XYZ that we don't like about you right now, bring it back to Auburn in 23, 24. We're going to fix that. We'll fit you into this rotation. I think Auburn's still going to go try to get a true five because you cannot start Dylan Carwell at the five. I said what I said. And try to build the opportunity for Janai to go play the true four instead of playing that stretch four. And then you're looking at a starting rotation that features Aiden Holloway, Denver Jones, Jalen Williams, Janai Broome, and insert transfer here at the five. I think that this is nothing to seriously press the panic button about if you're an Auburn fan, but something to closely monitor because who knows? If we hear some traction about Janai Broome, there may be some NBA clubs that are impressed by him. I certainly think that eventually he will be an NBA player and he will make an NBA roster and be a contributor. I just don't think that time is right now. That being said, that's about all the time we've got for today's show, the Wednesday installment of the Auburn Daily Show. Dylan, tell everybody where they can find you, support you, and love you.
Well, if you're watching, my name is Dylan Lark, and it's at YouBoyTheTank on Twitter. And if you're watching now, it's just right there below me. And if you're listening, it's at YABOYTheTank. Also, catch me in the Auburn Daily Show every Monday with Lance Daw. And also, go check out my writing work, where you know I always write about the transfer portal because that's all there is to talk about and think about for me. Also, if you like my podcasting work, go check me out on the College Loop podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's at the College Loop.
Absolutely, Dylan. Sorry, I had a big yawn there. Recording a little late this evening. But like Dylan said, check out the College Loop, and I'm going to circle back to that and echo him in just a moment before we get out of here. I'm Harrison Tarr at By Harrison Tarr on the Bird app. You can check out all of my written work at the Auburn Daily, theauburndaily.com. If you found this podcast, man, I hope you know how to get there. If you don't, then like I said, theauburndaily.com. Go check out all the cool stuff we've got coming up over there. Tons of content. You will never get bored. You will never run out of hashtag content to read in terms of Auburn athletics. Make sure you follow along and like, subscribe, ring the bell right here on our YouTube channel. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards in terms of the Auburn Daily. For myself, if you want to listen to more of my podcasting work, you can check me out, like Dylan mentioned, on the College Loop. I'm getting it backwards like this is a College Loop outro, but on the College Loop every Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, sometimes we'll do a reaction video like we did earlier yesterday evening, about Janai Broome entering the NBA draft portal. So we've got a ton of really, really cool content coming up over there. Also, if you want to check out any of my play-by-play work, I'm on ESPN Plus for Mercer Athletics, kind of as is. So make sure to follow me on the Bird app, and I'll tell you guys when I'm behind in the booth and when I'm not. That's going to do it for today's installment of the Auburn Daily Show. We will see you guys same time, same place tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.